man. Okay, we should probably go ahead and start, shouldn't we? All right. Welcome to Living Hope. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let me express my gratitude to you for all sitting on this side of the room. That greatly simplifies things for me this morning. Well, let's bow our heads and pray as we begin our service today. God, thank you for the love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's so good to have the opportunity to gather together and to have these moments of worship with you, to open our hearts and lives to you, to share with you the things that weigh us down, to cry out to you with our need, and to hear back from you your response of love, of grace, of mercy. Thank you, God. We pray that you will receive the praises that we offer to you in song. We pray that you will hear the cry of our hearts in prayer. We pray that you'll speak to us through your word, and we pray that you will meet us as we gather around the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you for inviting us to gather together with you today. Help us to listen for your voice speaking to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able and interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Kind of have a music theme going on today for our sermon, our service here. We'll talk a little bit later. Rich will talk about learning the lyrics to the song of Christ, basically. But you know, as he was talking, what I was thinking about was there's kind of two parts to music. Any musicians out there might know. You know, you have to have the right notes, right? You have to play the right notes or sing the right lyrics. But you also have to do it in time, right? There is a rhythm to it. And without that, it's not music. It's a combination of the two of those things. And so what I was thinking about is, you know, making sure that as we say the right words, as we do the things that God tells us to do, to do it in love, to do it with the right rhythm, so that it sounds good to people, that it feels good to the world. It kind of brought to mind the words of Jesus in Matthew. Let me read those for you. Chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen.
You're calling me to lay aside the worries of my day, to quiet down my busy mind and find the hiding place.
As we pray this morning, I want to try something. Go ahead and be seated for a minute. Close your eyes, and like we were just singing about taking our worries and giving them to him, I want you to picture for a moment all the stuff going through your busy mind this morning. Picture yourself holding in your hands all of your worries, all of your concerns, your cares, your fears. Anything, any shame, any guilt. Just pictures of holding on to all those things that might be weighing you down today. Weighing on your mind, weighing on your heart. The Bible tells us to cast our cares on him because he cares for you. So today I want you to just picture taking that big bundle of worry and fear and all the stuff that's going on in your life and just handing that over to Jesus. Can you picture that? Just picture yourself placing that in his hands, trusting him with it, giving it to him, letting him be God, the one who can do something about it, and recognizing that we're not. God, we give you these things today, these things that have weighed us down, these fears, these worries, these concerns, even our sin and our shame, our guilt. God, we give all of these things to you. Would you please take them from us? God, we thank you that in your great love for us, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave us your Son so that by his death and resurrection, we today can be free. Free of sin, free of shame, free of guilt, free of fear, free of anxiety. God, we can know that we are loved by you, that we don't have to carry these things around. We don't have to try to be God and solve all of our own problems, but God, we can let you be God, and we can simply be your sons and daughters loved by you. So today, God, we quiet down our busy minds. We give our worries and our concerns to you because we know that you can do something about them. We know that in your hands, some of these things that seem so big to us, so heavy to us, start to look so small, start to look so easy to you, the God of the universe. God, grant us your peace today. Grant us your joy today, the joy of being loved by you. Thank you, God, for your kindness to us. Your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for your steadfast love, God. Truly, you are worthy of our unashamed love. You are worthy of our childlike faith, of our honest praise, of all those things we just sang about, God. So today, we have placed these things in your hands, taken them out of ours, and we lift those empty hands to you in worship and in thanks and in praise today. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. You have been good to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we gather to worship you. It's because of him that we are gathered into your embrace as your sons and daughters. It's because of him that today we can live free, confident of your love. So it's in Jesus' name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. Thank you. And now you have to stand up. You have to share that peace with each other. You got to greet some people. Shake somebody's hand. Introduce yourself to somebody. Let's take a couple minutes to do that. The music stopped, so I guess I'm supposed to talk. Okay. Did everybody get one of these when you came in? The little welcome bulletin lets you know what's going on around here these days. Inside there, as usual, is this little green welcome card. I'd love to have you fill that thing out and drop it in the offering box back by the door before you go. You can let us know if there's some way. She wants you to sit with them, I think. If there's some way we can be praying for you or thanking God with you, something good that's going on in your life, or if you have a question or a comment, anything at all, maybe you read about something, you want more information, let me know. Write that on there, and when you drop it in the offering box, that gets handed to me tomorrow morning, and I'll be happy to get back with you about whatever it is. I'll be happy to join you in prayer for whatever's going on. Be happy to get you answers for whatever questions you might have. And some of you, I know you're very faithful, and you give. You drop something in that offering box every week. Others of you, you have told me that you do, but you forget sometimes, or the check gets left in somebody's shorts, or whatever, like what just happened. Or there have been times Stacy has come to me and said, "Do you have the checkbook?" "Oh, I left it at home," and you know, so we forget. So some of you have been asking for us to set up the online giving thing, and we finally got it done. So now you can go to our website, livinghope.info, and click on the give thing at the top, and right there it tells you how to do it. You just click the link, and you can make a gift from your checking or credit card or whatever. And get it right to the church like that. Now, if you want to set up something that happens automatically, that's what Stacy and I will be doing. Just this morning, before the 9 o'clock service, she was asking me about the checkbook, and I said, "Oh, well, you know, we should try the online giving thing real quick." And so we did it. We made our offering this morning on the website, and it was pretty easy. But if you want to set it up to happen automatically, which is what we'll be doing now this afternoon, setting up to happen automatically so we don't have to remember the checkbook, we need you to set up an account with Realm. It's our online church management thing. And I thought I had the instructions already on the site, but I don't. So if that's something you want to do, just email me or write it on your welcome card. Say, yeah, we'd love to set up the recurring automatic thing, and I'll walk you through it this week, okay? It's a real easy thing, and once you're set up with the online deal, the church management deal, you can go back and check and see your past giving and what happened. You can print out your, you know, donation receipt you need for your taxes in January or all that stuff. Plus, you can look up somebody's phone number if there's somebody you forgot and you wanted to give them a call. You haven't seen them in a couple of Sundays and you just want to give them a call. You can do that. So we're going to get all of that put together. And if you want to do that, it'll be there. Okay, let's see. Last night, this isn't in here because it already happened last night. We had a really cool concert here. Two different groups that came, and actually one of the band members is here. He's hiding in the back. Don't look at him. Alex back there, thanks again for coming out. He was playing bass for Counter Theory here last night. And so both groups did an awesome job, and because of the people that showed up and gave, they ended up raising $240-something dollars for their 30-hour famine project that I keep wanting to call 30-day famine, 30-hour famine project. That money is going to go to feed kids around the world. And if you didn't come to the concert but you want to help out, you can always just write 30-hour famine on an envelope, put your gift in it, and that'll get to them. $360, I think. Is that your goal? Each of you is trying to raise $360 or something like that for each teenager, because that will feed a child for a year through Compassion International, as well as help them with education and other things. So $360 helps feed a kid for a year. So if you want to help the teens raise money for hungry kids around the world, you can do that. Another way you can do that is a couple Saturdays from now, they're going to be doing another kid watching thing here, child care thing. If you want to go out, have a night on the town or have a quiet night at home or whatever it is, the teens will be here, they'll watch your kids, and you can pay them instead of paying some random babysitter. You can pay these teens, and that money will all go directly. They're donating their time, so that money will all go to feed some kids around the world. All right, and you can see that in there. There's other stuff in there you can read about if you'd like. Before we get to the message, I see Anna Lee back here. Come tell us all about what happened with Anna Lee and the world quiz that was so cool down in Indianapolis.
Yes, all year long we've been studying the book of Acts in Bible quizzing, and Anna Lee she's been shining. We've got lots of quizzes, she's come home with lots of trophies. She went to the ultimate quiz a couple weeks ago in Indianapolis, our world quiz, over 1,000 quizzers, and she came back with a gold ribbon, did an excellent job, wonderful job. In fact, the book of Acts, you can ask her a question. Anna Lee knows Acts. You can ask her a question, and her answer will sound exactly like the scripture that it's coming from. I mean, it's just amazing to me how well she knows it. But anyway, she's worked very hard this year, and we're going to start quizzing again in September, so a little plugged appearance. We'd love to have lots more quizzers this year, and it's a fun program, and it's a wonderful program. It hides God's word in the kids' hearts. So if you are appreciating how hard Anna Lee worked all year and that she represented us so well at the World Quiz, let's let her know. She's a great girl. Come on. Come on, Anna Lee.
It is really cool how well the kids learn the scriptures in that Bible quizzing program. So, and there are lots of other cool things going on, too. I know in the first service we had well, Allie here, she won 2 silver medals in Special Olympics and swimming, and all kinds of cool stuff going on. If you've got something, anybody else here win an award or do anything really like awesome in the last couple of weeks? I don't brag on you too. That's fine, but no, okay, all right, me neither. Okay, so if you've got, I've got some notes in there for you to go along with the message this morning. I mentioned last week we're going to spend the month of July focused in on this one theme of hearing from God. Of listening to God. How do I know when it's God speaking? What do I do with that when God is pointing his finger into my heart and saying, hey, this is for you, listen up. What do we do with that? And so last week we talked about how God is always speaking to us in lots of different ways. And in fact, the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 1, we looked at this last week, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. He goes on to talk about how Jesus Christ perfectly represents the Father. And in fact, God has created everything through his Son, Jesus Christ. He really lifts up Jesus as the one that if we want to hear from God, we ought to listen to Jesus. God speaks to us in all kinds of ways, all kinds of times, you know, all through scriptures, through all the things the prophets have written and said. But you guys know, too, that God speaks to us at kind of random times, too. You're driving in the car, and all of a sudden, it's a song, or it's something you see, or something happens, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is saying something to you. And you have one of those moments where it's like, wow, okay, God cares. He cares about me. He cares about my life. He's answering my prayer. He's speaking to me. Sometimes you're sitting down, you're reading the Bible, you're talking with a friend, all sorts of different ways that God ends up speaking to us. But if we want to know for sure we're hearing from God, if we want to listen carefully to him, we want to go to Jesus. Jesus is the one who perfectly communicates to us what our Heavenly Father wants us to hear. In fact, he used an image that we looked at last week of being a shepherd, and we're like sheep, and he knows us, and he calls us, and we follow him. I went ahead and included that there in your notes from John 10, where Jesus said, "The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice." Last week, we talked about how there's lots of different voices speaking to us. You know, Adam and Eve listened to the wrong voice when they ate the fruit. They listened to the voice of the serpent. You know, so many times we listen to the wrong voice, and we don't listen to the voice of the God who created us, who loves us. We don't listen to the voice of our shepherd, who's given his life for us out of love. But this good shepherd, our Lord Jesus, he knows us. He is calling to us. He knows you. Just like the shepherd calls his sheep by name, he knows your name. He knows what you're going through. And out of love, he's reaching out to you. He wants you to follow. He wants you to follow him, to learn from him. As we just heard from Scott earlier, you know, Jesus saying, look, learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn from me how to live. I'm not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I'm going to help you to learn how God created you to live. That's what we want to do. All right, the image that's been in my head, or the metaphor that's been in my head for this, for listening to God, and it's been in my head ever since before last week, since we started this, is that of music. It kind of helps, I guess, that there was a concert here last night, and that Stacy and I just a couple weeks ago were at a concert downtown at the Central Park Plaza here in Valpo. How many of you listen to music fairly frequently? Music's kind of a part of your life. You got it on. Okay, all right, quite a few of us. I shouldn't have raised my hand, really, because I don't listen to that much music. I mean, we went out to the concert, and I came last night, but honestly, I don't have music playing all day long or anything. I'm not one of those that's got, you know, I sit down at the computer at work, and the first thing I do is flip on Pandora or, you know, CD or iPod or whatever. I pretty much listen to music in the car. I come in, and I also listen to news in the car, so I only catch, you know, I've got like a 5-minute commute from my house to here, so I maybe catch a song and a news update. You know, if I have to drive to Maryville, I might hear 3 songs. You know, I mean, I just don't listen to a whole lot of music, but I do listen to some. And so this idea of music and being played, it's got me thinking about how sometimes we listen to music, but we don't really catch the song. You know what I mean? Like, there are songs I've heard on the radio, as little as I listen to music, there are still songs that I catch on the radio a lot because they play them over and over again. And so I recognize the song, and I can hum along to the song or whistle along. It drives Stacy nuts from the car. But, you know, I can hum along or something, but I don't know the words. You know, I haven't caught the words to it. I don't really know the song. Now, fortunately, today, if you don't know the words to a song, it's really easy. You pull out your smartphone or whatever, and you hit the little Shazam app or something, and you let it listen for a few seconds, and it tells you, oh, that's what the song is, and oh, that's what the lyrics are. Or you go to Google, and if you just know one phrase from a song, I actually did this last night, one of the songs that you guys were playing, Counter Theory, as a cover, and I can't remember which one it was, but there was a line in it, and I was like, what are the words to this song? And I was in the back of the computer, so I put in the one line that I remembered, like 3 or 4 words, and the word lyrics, and hey, there it is. That's the song. Oh, okay, yeah, that's the lyrics of the song. Okay. You know, it's an easy thing today to find out the lyrics. It used to be I had to pull out the CD liner, and because CDs were what I was listening to, album liners for some of you. Anyway, I had to pull out cassettes. I remember cassettes. You have to unfold the thing, and there's the lyrics to the song. I always hated it when the group didn't put the lyrics in there, because whenever I bought a CD or a cassette, the first thing I would do is I would sit down, I'd listen to it, and I'd pull out the stuff so I could catch what the words were. You know, so often we don't do that today. It's just music. It's just in the background. And, you know, I caught myself doing that some last night. You know, these guys are playing their hearts out, and there were times where I realized I'm only half listening right now. I'm, like, paying attention to what, you know, looking up something online, or I'm talking to somebody else. Or, well, this really happened when we went to that concert downtown a couple weeks ago. And it was free, and so, you know, we wandered down there, and we were at the concert, and it was really cool. It was like a food drive concert, and we bumped into Scott and his family there. And so, you know, we're sitting there, and we brought our dogs, and they're trying to keep the dogs settled, and, you know, they're playing, and we're like, oh, yeah, I love these guys, but we're talking, you know, we're not listening. We're talking to each other, or we're trying to keep the dogs from barking, or jumping all over Miles, and I hope he's recovered from that. And I realized at some point, like, okay, there's music playing, and I like that there's music playing, but I'm not really listening to what's being sung, not really listening to the particular song. Every now and then, you know, one would catch my ear, and I kind of listen along for a while, and, you know, you kind of tap your toe to it or whatever, or hum along, but, well, I realize that so often the music that's playing, I don't really listen. I don't know it well enough to like, I have never caught the lyrics. I don't know what they're singing about. I couldn't sing along. That image has been in my head, that metaphor for God speaking to us. Because God is always reaching out to us. He's always speaking to us in all sorts of different ways, but so much of the time we're just not listening. We're not tuned in. You know, maybe we can catch the fact that God is speaking, but we're not paying attention, and maybe we even like it that God is speaking to us. And it's comforting to us to know that God loves us and that God is reaching out to us. And so you might even have one of those moments, you know, you're out there and it's been a rainstorm and there's this beautiful rainbow. And you're like, you know, you have one of those moments where it feels like God is there with you, you know, and you feel like God is saying something. You've got this gratitude welling up in your heart or something. And you have this moment of like, yes, God cares about me. And you love that moment. And we're comforted by the fact that God speaks. We like that there's music playing. But we realize maybe we're not really paying attention. Maybe God doesn't want to just be background music for our lives. Maybe he wants us to actually learn the song and to sing along. You know, maybe he wants us to participate in this song that he's singing. That he wants his music, he wants his word, his speaking to us to sink in and to make a difference in our lives, in the way we think and the way we act. Is that making sense, that metaphor at all? I don't know. It made sense in my head. this idea that sometimes God and his speaking to us can just be background music that we don't really pay attention to. And if that's what happens, that's a shame because we're missing what God intends. God doesn't want to just be background music for us. Now, some of you I know, you do listen to the music. You pay attention, and you maybe even sing along in the car as you're listening to your music. Anybody want to confess that you sing along to music in the car and just admit to that? Yeah. I just saw it this morning on the way to church. I was at an intersection. I was getting ready to turn right, and I had my windows up, and I couldn't hear her, but I could see the gal who was at the intersection right there, and she had her windows down. I'm confident if my windows were even cracked, I would have heard it because she was belting it out. I mean, she was just letting it rip whatever it was that she was singing along to. And that's fun. You know, it's great to sing along. She obviously had listened to the song. She had caught the lyrics. And that song was meaningful to her. So she was happy to sing along to it. And did you guys ever catch I loved the TV commercials they did a few years ago about people singing the wrong lyrics to songs. I put one of them in there. Can you play that? You might have to turn it up. It's kind of quiet. I don't know.
Had some cataracts.
The sheep don't like it.
Lock the cash box.
Is he saying stop the cat box?
Stop the cat box.
You don't have to understand your music to understand how to get it all anyway, from your PC to your
they phone clearly phone didn't phone. Understand what the, you know, the Rock the Casbah song was about. And stop the cat box or something. I don't know what he was singing. And you can tell it's an older commercial because it's an older phone. But anyway, like I said, today we just look it up right there and, oh, that's the lyrics, and we don't have to embarrass ourselves. But today that's what I want us to think about is, okay, am I listening to God well enough? Am I paying attention to him? So that I actually catch the lyrics, so that as I live my life, as I sing along, as I sing whatever song I'm going to be singing, that I can be singing God's song, that I can be, as Scott mentioned earlier, singing the song of Christ in the world. You know, in Proverbs chapter 2, this is a great book in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, full of wisdom. And it's sometimes, in fact, wisdom is personified as someone who's crying out and trying to share wisdom with anyone who will listen. Sometimes it talks about a parent trying to instruct a child, and that's what we get in Proverbs chapter 2, where it says, my child, listen to what I say, and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom, and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight, and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I love all the different words that the author of the Proverbs uses right there for what we need to be doing. Did you catch all those? Listen, treasure, tune your ears, concentrate, cry out, ask, search like for hidden treasure, seek. All these very active things. If we want to catch what God is saying, we've got to pay attention. We've got to tune in to his wisdom. Concentrate. Pay attention. If we do this, if we don't just let the wisdom of God be background music that's playing as we go about our business, if we pay attention, if we search, if we ask, if we tune in, then we'll understand. Then we'll gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. I mean, God wants to give us wisdom. God wants us to live wise lives. He wants us to live the life he created us to live. So many times we go through our day and we've got to make decision after decision after decision. And it's like, okay, well, what would God have me do? Do we even stop to think that? Sometimes we don't. Yeah, but in that moment, God wants to give us wisdom. He wants, if we've been paying attention, if we've been listening, if we've been learning the song, then in that moment, we know the lyrics, we know the song, we know how to respond. Because we've been listening, the song comes readily to our lips. It's like last week when we were looking at Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. He didn't have to go look up those scriptures. He knew the scriptures because he'd let them sink in. He'd paid attention to what God was saying, to what his heavenly Father was saying to him. And that's what Proverbs is saying. We can do that. We can tune in. We can listen. We can cry out and ask for help because God wants to give us wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. All right, so I don't know if the music metaphor worked for you or not. Jesus used a very different one. They didn't have iPods in his day, so he used the image of an agricultural metaphor. You know, most of his metaphors had to do with, like we already mentioned, sheep and shepherds. Well, this one has to do with a farmer who's planting seeds. One day, Jesus told a story about a farmer who went out and scattered seed, and it said some of the seed fell on the footpath where people walked, and the ground was hard packed down, so the birds came and they just ate the seed right off the surface, and it didn't obviously sink in and grow. He said some of the seed fell on soil that was rocky, and it was a little shallow because there was rocks underneath, and so the seed, it took root and it grew, but as soon as the sun came out, the plant was scorched because it didn't have enough root, didn't have enough moisture. Said some of the seed fell among thorns and weeds, and the plant grew, but those thorns grew faster and they choked out the plant and they didn't let it mature and produce any fruit. He said, but some of the seed fell on good soil and it grew and it produced a harvest 30, 60, 100 times as much as was planted. He just tells this story about a farmer scattering seed. And his disciples have to come to him and say, okay, Jesus, great story, farmer, seed, yeah, we get it. But we don't get it. What's this got to do with us? What's the point? What's the story? I don't understand. Am I the farmer? Am I the seed? Are you throwing me somewhere? I don't get this. And so he explains it to him. And the explanation is what I gave to you there. This is out of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 13. I gave to you there also, if you want to look up later, Mark and Luke, where they tell the story. Because they all put their little twist on the story. And it's a slightly different angle. And so you might want to read that later. But here's how Jesus explains it to him in Matthew 13. He says, listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Now, the message about the kingdom, this is the message that Jesus came preaching, that the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the good news, he said. That God's reign, God's rule, God being king, that this is happening now in Jesus. God is setting the world to right again. He's turning the world right side up. And we can live with God as king. We don't have to be our own king or try to be God ourselves. We can live with God as king. His reign and his rule is coming. It's being established in Jesus Christ. And we're called to repent, to turn, and to believe the good news of the kingdom. So Jesus says, some people hear the message about the kingdom, and they don't get it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So it never sinks in. Just like the seed that falls on the hard-packed soil just kind of sits there and birds eat it. It never has a chance to do anything in their life. They hear the good news about the kingdom, and for whatever reason, they've got a closed mind, and they don't get it. They've got a hard heart. And so it's like the message just bounces off, and it doesn't faze them. He says the seed that falls on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. You know, The seed falls and a plant grows. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Sometimes we hear the good news. Hey, God loves me? Really? He sent his son Jesus so that I can be forgiven? This is awesome. And they hear this good news and they accept it and they love it and they're happy. They've got great joy. But it doesn't ever sink its roots, this message, this good news of God's love. It doesn't ever put roots down into the way that they think and the way that they live. It doesn't really impact their lives. And so as soon as there's any kind of a problem that happens, you know, wait a second, what's this? I thought God loved me. Ugh, I guess that wasn't true after all. Okay. And they go on with them. The plant dies. It doesn't have a chance to take root. It doesn't have a chance to grow in them, to change them. Or, you know, God forbid, they're persecuted for believing God's word. They have actual hardship. Somebody says, oh, you're going to be a Christian, huh? And they have hardship because of that. We don't really experience that here in this country, but other parts of the world, they do. They're kicked out of their homes, or they aren't allowed to do business, or they're put in jail. Said anything like that happens to them, and right away it's like, well, man, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be a Christian then, if that's what it means. So some people receive the message, but it doesn't sink down deep. It's just shallow. It doesn't sink down deep. It doesn't put down roots into their heart and into their lives. So it doesn't make a difference. He says, sometimes there's seed that falls on thorns. He said that seed represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Somebody who's, they're distracted. There's so much else going on there that they hear the good news about God's love, but, you know, there's all these other things to be involved in, and there's other good things to be a part of, and there's some bad things, too, that I've been a part of. And so this message, this good news, it gets choked out, and the plant that tries to grow doesn't get a chance to grow. Maybe they're just so distracted that they never do really pay attention to what God is saying. So they hear it, but, you know, maybe like somebody who hears it, but they've got, hears the music, but they got so much else going on, they never do stop to listen. I don't know. The seed doesn't get a chance to really mature and to make a difference in their lives because it's crowded out. So sometimes it's the lure of wealth. You know, it's like, oh, hey, I can either be generous like God wants me to be generous, or I can buy this nice new toy, and, you know, and we buy the new toy. Or it's the worries of God's, worries of life. It's like, oh, man, if I'm going to follow God, then I won't be able to, and this is going to happen, and that's going to end. We've got too many other concerns, and the message doesn't produce fruit in our lives. He says, some seed fall on good soil, represents those who truly hear and understand God's word, and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or 100 times as much has been planted. He uses this, the world has come alive. Okay, he uses this image, this story, to talk about different ways to listen. You know, and are we listening? You know, the seed is out there. God is speaking. The word is coming to each one of us. But are we listening? Are we distracted? Do we have closed hearts? Do we just receive it at a shallow level and never let it take root? I went ahead and put on the backside of your notes there, what type of soil, what type of listener are you? You know, I want you to think for a minute. You know, when God is trying to speak to me, when I read something in the Bible and the Spirit points his finger in my chest and says, this is for you, or when I hear something on a Sunday morning and God is speaking and making an impact, you know, what type of soil are you? Do you have a hard heart? Do you have a closed mind where God tries to break through but he just can't? You're not really open to what God might want to say? Are you just receiving things at kind of a shallow level? And as long as everything's great, it's good, but as soon as things get tough, you know, are you letting it send down roots? You know, Stacy worked in our yard yesterday for way too long. I didn't help her at all. I was a terrible husband yesterday. Stacy was out there in the heat. I didn't realize how much she had to do. She told me she was going to work in the yard, and I said, okay, great, I'm going to take a nap. And I woke up. She had bought some plants, and she didn't ask me to help. And so I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. I might have even said, is that okay? And she said, sure. Let's pretend that's what happened. So I wake up from my nap and I realize, man, it's been a while. Stacy's still outside. And I go outside and she's covered in dirt and all the plants are out of the ground and other plants she's put in and just moved plants around. And she said, what time is it? I tell her and she's like, oh, I've been out here too long. And, you know, and then she was out there for like another hour. I was inside. Okay. Anyway. Sometimes, you know, you're pulling weeds. And I do pull weeds from time to time. And, you know, have you ever noticed some weeds come out real easy? You know, it's like you pull it out and it's right there. It's all surface level. It's just right there. There's almost no roots involved. Others you try to pull out and it's like, okay, I have to get a grip on this, you know, and you got to really put your back into it or something. There's like some tree things growing that aren't supposed to be growing. I couldn't pull them out at all. You know, I mean, we just had to like chop them out or dig them out. You have to put a spade in the ground and like break the roots on these things because the roots sink down so deep and grab a hold. That thing wants to live, you know. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Sometimes we listen at such a shallow level, we just never do let the message that God is speaking to us sink down and make a difference in the way we think, to put roots down into our thinking, into our hearts, into our lives. I love the way, I think it was Luke, I can't remember if it was Luke or Mark, it's one of the other gospels as they're telling the story and they're talking about the good soil. They said the good soil, those who receive the message and they cling to it. I love that image. They cling to it. They hold on. They don't just let the message, they don't just hear it and then pass on by and let it just be shallow. They let the message put down deep roots. They let the word of God, the good news of God's love, sink roots down into their hearts and lives so that it's not easily ripped out. So that when the hard times come, you know, it's sunk down roots and we have confidence in God's love because he's impressed it upon our hearts. It's really sunk in. I think I mentioned last week, I love it whenever the Spirit of God is at work and he leads me to say the right thing and the Spirit of God, if God is at work and leads you to hear it and it's just what you needed to hear. And sometimes you say to me after a service, man, Rich, that was great. When you said this, God was speaking to me and that's wonderful. I pray for that to happen every week, you know, that's great. But you know what, for me, if I'm going to hold on to something like that, if God speaks to me, there are only two things that help it to stick. Because sometimes you share that with me, and then by this afternoon, you don't remember what it was, you know. And by Monday, it's completely gone. And by the next week, if I were to say, hey, what was that? You told me last week something really stood out to you. There was a thing. I don't remember. What did you talk about last week again? You know, the two things that help me are if I write it down or if I share it with somebody else. All right? Just a quick thing there. If you want something to sink in, if you got to spend time with it, if God's saying something to you, you got to stop and spend enough time with it to let it sink in. You might have to write it down. You might have to highlight it in your Bible. You might have to write yourself a note or something. And then if I share that with somebody else, if I talk to somebody about what God's saying to me, you better believe there's something about sharing it with somebody else and talking with somebody else about it that helps keep that alive, that helps let that sink in. So do you have a hard heart, a closed mind? Are you just listening at a shallow level, or are you letting it put down roots? Is the ground thorny where you live? Are there so many distractions that you can't really hear what God is wanting to say? Are you pulled in so many different directions? Last week we talked about different voices that speak to us. God's voice is speaking, but there's also all these other voices competing for our attention. Adam and Eve listened to the wrong voice in the garden when they ate the fruit. You know, Jesus fortunately didn't. He listened to the voice of his Father when he was tempted. What voices are we listening to? What trying to crowd out the message? Are we being good soil? Are we cultivating a heart and a mind that's open to what God wants to say, that lets his word put down roots, that lets it sink in, that lets it produce fruit in our lives to make a difference in our lives? Now, I mentioned if we really want to hear from God, we've got to listen to what God has said to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we want to know that we're hearing from God, we got to go to Jesus. Now, the next couple of weeks, we're going to get into some practical things about quieting down and listening and sharing with others and some tools to do that. And how do I really know if it's God that's listening? I think that's going to be next week's theme. How do I know when it's God? But for now, I just want to focus in on, boy, the one place you know that you can hear God speak is when you go to his word, when you go to scripture. You know, this is what God has already said to us. And when we read the Bible, and if we read with an open heart and prayerfully asking, like it said in Proverbs, you know, cry out for wisdom, ask for it. And when we do that, boy, it's so many times that God does, in fact, speak. We get start to learn the lyrics to the song as we read Scripture. So I couldn't talk about this without including these verses from 2 Timothy and from Hebrews. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what's true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every good thing that God has planned for you to do, he wants to prepare you for it through Scripture. Because that's where God speaks through Scripture. It's inspired. God breathes through the Scriptures to teach us, to correct us, to guide us. The author of the letter to the Hebrews, that we looked at earlier in chapter 4. You might want to read chapter 4 of Hebrews later. Even tack chapter 3 on with it, because that's where he starts down this theme. He says, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Well, that might be why we close our minds sometimes to what God wants to say, why we move on quickly, because sometimes it cuts us. Sometimes God, when he speaks to us, it's cutting. It penetrates. It does. It starts to, God's pointing out things that need to change. He's exposing things we thought we'd hidden. In those moments, the author of the Hebrews, just a couple of verses earlier, he's quoting from Psalm 95. He says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. When the sword of God's word, when God's voice starts to cut you, don't harden your hearts. Don't pull back from it. Let him do surgery. Let God cut in. Let him get rid of what's bad in there. Let him do his work. Let's listen for God's voice. Let those roots sink down deep and grab hold. In that chapter and in the previous chapter, he's quoting from Psalm 95. He's telling the story of when God was speaking to his people in the wilderness. They were making their way from slavery in Egypt to the promised land, and as they were making their way through, unfortunately, they didn't listen to God. They hardened their hearts. And so the author to the Hebrews says, hey, listen, don't be like our ancestors did. They hardened their hearts when God spoke to them, and as a result, they didn't get to enjoy the blessings that God had promised them. You know, they ended up having to do laps in the wilderness for 40 years, so they all died and their kids got to move in. He says, so learn from their example. Don't harden your hearts when God speaks to you. Don't close your ears. Don't go, la, 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 I can't hear you. I'm not listening. He says, no, when you hear his voice, listen. Let him speak, even if it's cutting. Listen to what God is saying. Pay attention. Learn the lyrics so you can sing along. Jesus used another image in Matthew chapter 7 for what needs to happen here when we hear what he has to say, that we need to do something with it. We need to let it sink in. We need to let it make a difference. We need to put it into practice. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, they don't let it sink in. They don't let it make a difference. It doesn't produce any fruit in their lives. They don't obey. He said, they're foolish. They're like somebody building a house on sand. When it rains and floods come and winds beat against the house, it'll collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus says it's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to have those words hit in your ears. It's not enough just to read it. It's not even enough just to have the moment where you feel, you know, God said something to me today. It's an amazing thing to have that feeling. Like the God of the universe cares enough to say something to you. The Spirit of God puts his finger in your chest and says, listen, this is for you. It's an amazing thing. But if we stop there, Jesus says we're living like a fool. Our life is going to collapse when the hard times come. It's just like if it doesn't sink down roots, if we don't listen and follow, if we don't follow the voice of our shepherd, if we don't let his word sink down roots into our hearts and lives, then the house will collapse. But if we do it, if we let it sink in, if we let it make a difference in the way we think, in the way we live, if we follow his teaching, our life is built on a solid foundation. And it doesn't matter what storms may come. Our life is solid. It's built on Jesus Christ. To go back to Proverbs for a moment, I mentioned that sometimes the book of Proverbs personifies wisdom as like somebody crying out. And that's what happens in chapter 1. It says, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. I called to you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. As simpletons turn away from me to death, fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Boy, wisdom is calling out. God's wisdom is crying out. And if we'll listen, if we won't ignore it, the voice of God, if we won't reject the correction God offers, if we'll listen, if we'll let it sink in, we'll live lives of peace, lives on a solid foundation. God, out of love for us, is calling out, is speaking to you, We need to listen. Well, it was just a couple weeks ago that the last time the teens did their little kid-watching thing here, a couple people took advantage of it. Marco and Courtney Trevino and Pete and April Brandy, they dropped their kids off here, and Scott and the teens, they watched the kids while they went out and had dinner together. And they went to a place that had karaoke going. And at some point, I don't know if they all, did you all sing, Pete? Just Courtney? Courtney was the only one brave enough to get up. Okay, Marco's wife Courtney got up, and she's saying they're not here today, but Courtney's work schedule only allows her to be here about once a month, or we would have her up here singing every Sunday. But somebody recorded it and put it on Facebook, and so I got to hear Courtney singing this song, and it was their song. It was a song that, it's Marco and Courtney's song. I don't remember if she sang it at their wedding. I'm trying to remember the story that she was telling me about it. But it's their song, and she sings it well. And so she got up, and she's belting it out. And can you imagine, here's Marco sitting at the table, his wife, who he loves, is singing their song to him. Can you imagine for a second that Marco wasn't paying attention? Can you imagine Marco turning to Pete and April saying, hey, you guys want a refill? I'm going to go get a refill. You know, if she's singing, I'm just going to go and slip out for a minute. You know, no, there's no way he was going to do that. She'd have killed him probably if he had. But besides that, this is his wife. She loves him. This is their song. You better believe he was paying attention while his wife sang their song to him there in the restaurant. God loves you. And out of love for you, he is singing to you. He's singing your song. He is crying out to you. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. Wow, let's pay attention. Let's pay attention when God is speaking. Let's listen. Listen well enough to learn the lyrics, to sing along. Okay, let's bow our heads. Let's pray for a moment. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you are continually reaching out to us, speaking to us, God. You want to give us wisdom. God, help us to listen. Help us to pay attention. Help us to allow your word to quiet ourselves, to give you time for to listen to you speak, to pay attention so that the message that you're saying to us, so that your word to us can sink in. God, we want your word to put down roots. We want it to be hard to pull up. We want it to be hard to forget. We want it to make a difference in our lives, to change the way we think, the way we feel. God, we need to hear from you. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear you talking to us about who we are, about our identity, so that we can know that we are people, sons and daughters, people loved by you. God, we need to hear your voice. We need to hear you speaking to us about who you are, about your great love for us, about your faithfulness, about the wisdom that you have for us. God, please help us to listen. God, we need to hear your voice. You long to comfort us in our grief. You long to grant us peace in the midst of our worry and anxiety. You long to give us joy, to lift us up, to encourage us. God, we need to hear your voice. Please, would you help us to listen? God, today, God, help us to determine to be the kind of people who will be open to your word, who will allow your word to sink into our hearts, into our minds. God, help us this week, maybe just to set aside some time, to turn the volume down on everything else, to move all the distractions to the side for just for a few moments so that we can read your word, so we can prayerfully listen for what you might say to us. Maybe we'll even just go back and read some of these verses we've looked at today and just listen for your voice speaking. God, we need to hear your voice. Help us to listen. Thank you, God, for speaking to us so clearly in your Son, Jesus Christ. Boy, in him we hear just how much you love us. We saw it. You put it on display to know that you loved us so much that you would give up your Son. Lord Jesus, that you would take our sin on yourself. Thank you. Thank you, God, that by Christ's death and resurrection, we today can be set free. We today can be embraced as your sons and daughters. We today can know that we are loved by you. Thank you, God. Help us Help us to listen. Thank you that we have this moment where we get to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus and celebrate communion together. God, we pray that in this bread and this juice, that by your Spirit's presence here, we can meet the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can meet our Lord and Savior here. We can meet our Shepherd here. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us like that. Thank you that today, by your Holy Spirit, you are reaching into our hearts, into our lives. You are grabbing a hold of us, and you are drawing us to yourself. God, help us when you speak, when you grab hold of us, to respond with a great big yes. Yes, God, you've got me. I give myself to you. I'm going to hold nothing back. You've got me. All right, I'm yours. I surrender myself to you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to celebrate communion together. And the band's going to come. They're going to lead us in a song. And as we sing, I'm going to be up here with a basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. You're invited to come. As we sing, take bread, dip it in the juice, and eat it. This is our reminder to us of the great love God has shown us in his Son, Jesus Christ. His body broken, his blood spilled, the great price that was paid for your freedom and for mine. This is for all of us today. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. If today you're saying yes to Jesus, if today you're giving thanks to God for the love he's shown us in Jesus Christ, you're invited to come. It's a great thing to be able to get up from our seat, to be able to leave behind our worry, our sin, our shame, to be able to come to Jesus and receive from him mercy and grace. Let's give him thanks. Let's celebrate his love today. Thank you, God, for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Spirit, that we might be the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by his blood. Continue to speak to us, God, and help us to listen. May your word put down deep roots into our hearts and minds. May your word produce fruit in us, make a difference in the way we live. God, we want to put these words into practice so that we can live lives of peace, lives of joy, so we can follow our shepherd. We give ourselves to you, trusting that you will lead us to good places. We pray this with confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.